Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we're funded by the Pacific Northwest Writers Association. They've been supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. They do a great yearly writers conference every summer. But in the fall and winter, they offer wonderful writing classes at their headquarters there in Issaquah, Washington, out in eastern Washington, in Gilman Village, if you know that area. You probably know that little outdoor mall. And in fact, I will be offering a five-week memoir class starting this Saturday, October 22nd. I believe there are still spots available. If you want to learn about that class or any of the other classes, go to pnwa.org. I'd like to mention quickly that I will be teaching a Fearless Writing Masterclass at Right on the Harbor. I believe it's down in Tacoma. It's hosted by the Tacoma Community College, I think. I don't know. But it's called Right on the Harbor. It's down there in Tacoma. I'll be doing it October 4th, and I'm guessing there's still some spots available. If you're interested in that masterclass or in that, writers conference, go to Right on the Harbor on the internet, and you can learn all about it. Okay. Well, today, as I said, it's another Fearless Writing Masterclass today. I do love doing these. And we have a special guest host with us today is Mr. A.C. Fuller, friend of the show, fellow podcaster, writer, and teacher. A.C., welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot. And, I'll be teaching at that conference, too, the Right in the Harbor, Right on the Harbor, November in Tacoma. So I'll see you there. I didn't know you were teaching there, but thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm doing just one day there, the Friday they have these masterclass series. So I'm doing that. I think that's the only day I'll be down there. Hope maybe I can bump into you. Is it right on the harbor or right in the harbor? Probably on the harbor.
I think it's right in the harbor.
Okay.
It's a small conference put on by Tacoma Community College, and it's actually a great little conference.
That's awesome. Well, AC, as I mentioned, you are a fellow podcaster. You have a wonderful writer's podcast called Writer 2.0, where I've been a guest on that show, and you've had a lot of wonderful, prestigious guests. And that, if folks Google Writer 2.0, is that the best way to find the podcast if they go searching for it?
Right. Unless they have a phone that they listen to podcasts on, like an iPhone or an Android, then they can just go into the podcast app that they use and type in Writer 2.0 and subscribe there. Otherwise, if they Google it, it'll come up on my website, and all the episodes are available there too, acfuller.com.
And if you're on Facebook, which I know most of you are, AC has a vibrant and active writing community page called Writer 2.0, and anyone's free to join, and I encourage you to do so. It's like I said, there are a lot of pages where people aren't active. People are active there, and a lot of the questions today were drawn from that page. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's right. So it's a great place for writers to go and talk about the business and craft of writing, and to be supportive and to get to know other people. So I encourage you to do it. It's Writer 2.0. And today, as I said, we're doing Fearless Writing. Now, we're going to be doing this for about a half an hour. I could talk for just a half an hour about Fearless Writing, but I'm going to boil it down to two things today before we get to the questions. And by the way, the questions are very simple. It's what stands between you and the writing experience you want to have. Is it time, money, intelligence, talent, an agent? What stands between you and the experience you want to have? What is that one thing? That's the question we put out to the writers that we knew, and we got some great questions. If you want to call into the show, you can. It's 661-449-9357, 661-449-9357. But if you don't, we got plenty of questions, not to worry. Here's one thing I want to put to you before I get to the questions. I think the number one thought that stands that interferes most often with writers is the simple thought, I wonder what other people will think of what I'm writing. Because, of course, we're not just writers, are we? We're authors. We want to sell our work. We want to share our work with other people. And that awareness of what other people might think of our work, whether it comes in the form of geez, I wonder if I can find an agent for this. I wonder if there's a market for this. I wonder if what the reviewers will be. I wonder what my critique group will think of it. That simple question, while we are writing, it seems like such a practical question, such a necessary question for authors who want to share their work with other people, and yet that single bit of awareness, that simple question is the number one block to most writers and is the source of, I would say, 80% of writers' fear. That one thought. And the other thought that I think frequently insinuates itself into a writer's workshop is this question, I wonder, do I have what it takes? Because it seems like some do and some don't. Fearless writing is based on the idea that you don't have to worry about other people, that the only way to do your work fearlessly and with your full creative connection to your creative source, your muse, whatever you call it, is to never think about those people with whom you are going to share your work. It is forgetting about them that allows you to connect to your full creativity to share something with them. And the second aspect of fearless writing is that everybody has what it takes. Everybody's talented enough. Everybody's smart enough. Everybody's creative enough. And the variation we see in the world is a reflection not of talent or intelligence or creativity, but a reflection of people's willingness to accept their inherent value, their inherent creativity. The moment you accept it, you set that creativity free, but it's inherent. It's inherent. It's what you were born with. So that is what fearless writing is based on. As I said, I could talk about it, just those two things, easily for half an hour, but I want to get to questions, AC, and I know you got some good ones.
I do. I've got quite a few, probably more than we'll even get to on this show, but maybe we'll do it again soon. The first question, this is from the Writer 2.0 Facebook group. This is from a woman named Janine, who is soon to be an author, and she's also a podcaster. She wrote, it's definitely about carving out time. I love taking the time to write, but I have to take enough time and energy to do my job that pays me to live. Multiple other people posted a variation of that same question about basically people who have full-time jobs, possibly kids, injured spouses, ailing parents, etc., and their time is objectively somewhat limited, and they love doing it. They just can't find enough time. What do you say to them?
All right, so this is perhaps the most common question I get. And it's interesting, coming up, I encourage the next issue of Author is coming out, and on that issue I have an interview with a young woman named Kandara Blake, who's the author of, I think, 6 books now, young adult kind of sci-fi-ish type books. And we got to that subject because when she wrote her first book, I want to say first to all the writers, and I don't say this to shame you at all, but be aware that every single writer I know who has started their writing career, and maybe they're flourishing now, and maybe that's what they do for a living. It never started that way. Every writer I know wrote their first book while they had a job, while they were doing something else, or while they were raising young children. I have never met a writer yet who simply had their whole day open to them to do nothing but write when they wrote those first books. So everybody is having to, quote, find time. And I talked to Kandara about that because she had gone to school and gotten a job as an investment banker. And she said, well, what I did, and she did the thing, the easy mechanical answers to how to find time. This is the easy mechanical answer for how we find time to write. This is what you do physically, it is not the answer. But this is the physical answer, the steps you can take. The steps you can take is get up an hour early every day. That's what most writers do. They get up an hour early every day. That's what Kandara did. She got up at 3 a.m. AC. 3 a.m. so she could write for 2 hours before she left for work at 5 a.m.
Got started too, getting up at 4 a.m.
Yeah. That's the easy way to do it. But here's why people don't do it, AC. See, that it is a very simple answer. Oh, just set my alarm clock an hour back. But there's a reason they don't do it, and it's this. This is the real question. The question is not, how do I find time? The real question is writing a waste of time? You see, Janine, was that the name of the writer who asked this question?
Janine, yeah.
Okay. You notice she talked about her job. And the thing about that job and the ailing parents and the spouses and all that sort of – and all the other relationships that we have in our life, None of those things seem like a waste of time to us because the job gives us money. Oh, very important. We need the job. It also gives us an identity, doesn't it? It's so nice to have an identity. I'm a teacher. I'm a writer. I'm a waiter. I'm a whatever it is. The job gives you an identity. It gives you money. You get an immediate benefit from it. You know immediately why it's necessary. And, of course, the same thing for caring for your children or an ailing parent or having a relationship with your spouse. The necessity of those relationships is immediate. You know the benefit of having a relationship with someone the moment you're in that relationship. It's not deferred. It's right there. You know about it immediately. And even just hanging out and watching TV is an immediate payoff. You know you need to do it because you've got to chill out. You can't just stress all the time. You need to sit in front of the TV and watch football or watch The Voice or whatever it is to just relax to. The payoff is immediate. But with writing, there is the question of, is this going to pay off? Because you can't see the future, can you? You can't see for the book that you're writing now if it's going to lead to anything down the road. All you know is that you're interested in it. All you know is that
right,
you're
and
interested
in it.
Right,
and there's literally no way of knowing unless you've been, say, prepaid and got a huge advance
That's
for the
right.
book. Most of us, there's no way of knowing whether it will ever come out, whether we'll make any money off it, whether people will
exactly.
like it if it does come out.
That's
so
right.
then how do you deal with that, those moments of, I have no idea
That's
where
right.
this is going. I may as well just not get up at 3 a.m.
That's right. Exactly. Because who wants to get up at 3 a.m. to ask the question, am I wasting my time? See, writing is two questions, AC. If you ever heard me talk, I come down to writing is two questions. What do I want to say? And have I said it? What is the story I want to tell? And have I told it? What's most interesting to me? And have I done it? You know, AC, that when you stop worrying about what other people think and you stop worrying if writing is a waste of time and you stop worrying if you're talented enough or smart enough and sink into the dream of the story that you're telling, you know how you lose track of time. You know how the characters start talking to you. It may not happen every time, but it happens sometimes. Maybe it happens often. And how nice is that feeling? How great is that feeling to be caught in the flow of the story you're telling? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. It doesn't happen as much as I would like, and my life is pretty regimented, so I don't lose track of time much, but I do know what you mean.
Right. So you get into that flow, and it's just wonderful. Everybody would get up to be in that flow if they knew that they were in it, but why get up to answer, is writing a waste of time? And I asked Kandara about that. I said, did you ever once wonder if writing's a waste of time? And she said, well, of course not. This is her answer. Of course not. I love to write. Why wouldn't I want to do it? How could it be a waste of time? I was enjoying myself. You see? And so she wrote it with no idea of whether it would get published or not, but she did know this. She knew she liked doing it. She knew she enjoyed it. She knew that she had to, that it was kind of a compulsion, but she hadn't. And in fact, when she finished it, she just sat on it because she didn't know what to do about it. She had no idea how to find an agent. She had no idea how publishing worked, but she had written it. By and by, she did find an agent, and she found a little publisher for it. But the thought, is this a waste of time, simply never entered into her mind, ever. And that's why she could get up at 3 a.m.
That's interesting, because I think even people who do enjoy it a lot sometimes can forget that because we get stuck in the what will other people be thinking about it, and that can kind of cripple us momentarily or for weeks or months. I know I suffer from that sometimes where I forget that I just enjoy it, and that can lead to procrastination and avoidance.
Of course, because we have the story that simply enjoying it isn't enough. That's not guarantee of anything. But one thing I've understood in my creative life, as more and more success has come to me, I think of it that way, as more and more success has come to me, I've understood that my role in that success is to sit down and think about and focus on what is most interesting to me in that moment about whatever I'm writing about. It is not my job to predict the future. It is not my job to know who's going to buy what I'm going to write. It is not my job to know how many copies I'm going to sell. My job is to sit down and get interested in what I'm writing about and to forget about the future because I can never control it anyway. I have no idea about it. And everything written is written in the moment. And a writing career is built in the exact same way a scene is built. When you write a scene, you do not know every single word that's going to come to you before you write it until you have written it. You sit down with a vague idea. Maybe you've outlined it and you have three or four plot points in that scene. Maybe you just have one little idea about two characters meeting in a cafe. And maybe you think they're both women and maybe they turn out to be both men. You never know. That's how writing works. And you sit down and then you enter into the stream of the story and details come. And the details that you didn't know at the beginning of the day's work have come to you by the end of the day's work, and you take this, well, this is just what writing is. I never know everything. I let things come to me, and then the thing finishes itself. That's how a career is made. It's not your job to predict the future. It's your job to get interested in what you're interested in, and then let that career unfold the way a story unfolds. Time, the fear of time, the belief that we don't have enough time is a belief we have to be able to predict the future. Interestingly enough, the belief that we don't have enough time is a reflection of our unwillingness to simply enjoy ourselves in the moment and trust that that's enough. All I have to do is get interested, and then the rest will follow. And all I have to do is be interested in this moment right now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. And that actually answers some questions I've been having in my own process as well, but I won't get into those right now. But yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
But here's the thing, and I want to say this to Janine and all the listeners who had this sort of question. It takes practice. It takes practice. And so don't expect yourself to sit down tomorrow and not worry about the future and not worry what other people think of your work. Those thoughts will creep in. Your job is to practice being in the moment. And when your mind begins to drift to thoughts of the future, like, well, will this sell? What a horrible question to ask yourself. How can you know? How can you know? You can't know. The only question you know is, am I interested in this? Is this coming out the way I want it? That's a question you can answer. But as soon as you start asking yourself questions you cannot answer, like, what will my writing group think of this? Will I find an agent? Will I find a publisher? You can't answer it. And you have put yourself into a sort of creative panic by asking yourself questions you cannot answer. Why would you go take a test where you don't know the answer to any question? What a frightful, and yet it's very important that you do have all the answers, yet it's impossible for you to have them. That is like math anxiety times 100. Well, that's what writers put themselves into when they say, what will other people think of it? Will it get published? Will I find an agent? You can't answer it. And yet you are creating questions that you believe you have to answer. And so the writing process becomes joyless. It becomes this exercise in trying to know something you can never know. The pleasure in building a sort of successful writing career is the greatest pleasure is the awareness that all you've ever had to do is be interested in what you're interested in, and the rest will take care of itself. For your writers who are just starting their career journey, that seems impossible. They want to see the end. And they can't believe that just sitting down and getting interested in something is enough, but it is. It is. You don't believe it now, but it is. You will learn it by and by. You will either learn it very quickly by forgetting about the future and then letting that future come to you, or you will learn it very slowly by constantly worrying about the future. But one way or another, you will learn it. That is the way of things. That is the way of creativity and how a career is built. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah. I think that's great.
Great. Well, what
next
else
question?
We got? Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question is a slightly different topic. It's about rewriting. This is a question from Chris. He asked, how do you push through the process of rewriting a first draft? And the reason I picked this question is I know quite a few people in the Writer 2.0 Facebook group are in the process. They might have just finished the first draft, 100,000 words of their first novel, and they are, you know, up, which is a great milestone, and then now they're faced with, oh, wait, I have to rewrite this. And often that's the hard part for a lot of us.
Right. So the question is, why is rewriting hard? In your estimation, AC, do you like rewriting or do you find it challenging?
I find it challenging and I absolutely love it. It's actually, for me, my favorite part because I tend to write faster, rougher first drafts. And I take many, 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 many drafts to finish something, often 10 to 20 or 30 drafts because I like to refine things as much as possible. I come from a journalism background, yeah. So I like things to be concise. And so for me, that's where the story really happens. The reason it's hard for me personally is that, A, I'm confronted by the fact that my first draft just isn't that good often. Like, it has lots of
yeah.
stuff in it, but as a finished
yeah.
piece of work, it's just not there yet. Objectively, and I can tell that. And so it's a little daunting sometimes. And so for me and a lot of writers I know, it's just we're confronted by our own limitations. Like, we want to be better writers than we are, and our first draft lays bare the fact that we're not
right.
as good as we would eventually like to be.
So
just from
I think
skill
that,
perspective.
Yeah, so I think that the answer is twofold. I would have to talk to the person specifically to know what kind of story they're telling themselves about the rewriting process, but my guess is it goes something like this, which is the first thing about rewriting is that is one of those phases where we are most likely to begin projecting what other people will think of it, because you're rereading it, and it's very easy to begin looking at it not in terms of is this as cool as I thought it was when I first imagined it, is this scene moving as fast as I like scenes to move? Is this really did I honestly say what I really wanted to say here? Or could I say it a little, could I slow down and try again, you know? Where we, again, ask those, the two questions are, what do I want to say and have I said it? And to reread something is to say, have I said this as well as I want to say it? That's a question you can answer, but it's very easy when rereading it to begin to look at it because it's been written down and you're reading it critically to begin to project what other people will think of it. And
I think that's exactly it. And you know what I'm hitting on? I got to tell this very short story. About a week before I finished the first draft of The Anonymous Source, my first book that came out, I was lying in bed and I went into a bit of a panic. And
yeah.
I don't generally have much anxiety and I don't have panic attacks. So I was in a very anxious state about a week before I finished the first draft. And I was wondering why that was. And I realized, and it was exactly what you just said. It was that I was starting to think of the book as something people will eventually see, and I would need to get feedback, and I would have to edit it, and I would go through critiques and, you know, rejections, etc. So I was transitioning from the process of just writing 1,000 words every morning to the process of thinking about what others would think about it. And
that's
that set me into anxiety, which eventually I kind of got over and realized that the book would definitely need some work, but it was not a reflection on my value as a human being necessarily, and things worked themselves out. But it's exactly what you just said, is I was shifting mindset into, I'm not just writing this for me anymore, I'm going to think about what other people think about
it. That's right. And I think it's a very normal thing to do, but even in the rewriting, you have to tune into what you wanted the story to be. And you know that feeling within yourself. Stories have their own sort of felt destination. You know, stories take up big, there's lots of characters and lots of things happen and the subplots. But in a way, you're trying to leave the reader with one feeling, one felt resolution about safety, about danger, maybe about love, maybe about courage, maybe about whatever it is. The story often has one, what I call, intentional arc to it. And so usually, as we rewrite, we tune into that thing we want each scene to feel like and the book itself to feel like, and that feeling is within us. What the story wants to be is inside us. It's not in anybody else. It's not in the agents. It's not in your proofreaders. All they can tell you is whether they liked it and what they saw, whether they were interested or not interested, whether it seemed funny or scary or whatever. They can't tell you what the story should be. They can tell you what they read, and that can be helpful. But the worst thought I can have as a writer is that somehow I have to know what other people like, and that somehow I have to be more interested in what other people like than what I like, even though the only thing I really know is what I like. And so the insecurity comes in when we think we're trying, as we read it, to read other people's minds, which we can't. And so I would say to the what was this fellow's name? Chris. So I would say, first, before you sit down to rewrite, tune into what you want the book to be. Just the felt feeling of what would the person who read it, I know you're not really getting into the person's mind here, but just imagine a reader. What is the gift you're giving them emotionally? What is the cool thing that you're writing about? What is the sexy, interesting, funny, profound thing you're writing about? Just feel it in yourself. It had to start as a feeling. and then tune into that, because that's why you wrote the book. That's what you loved about it. That's what drove you to it. Don't be humble about it. You think it's awesome. Don't be shy and say, well, I think it's – no, you think it's awesome. That's why you spent however many hours it was writing the thing every day. Tune into that feeling and understand that as you go to reread it and look for the changes, all you're trying to do is bring that story into alignment with that feeling. Get rid of the stuff that isn't a part of that story and bring the stuff and focus on the stuff that is and bring in more stuff that will highlight it. All you're wanting to do is get it into the focus so you can share the gift. Think of the gift you want to share, think of what it feels like, and then go back into the story with that awareness so that it can become what you want it to be. Your insecurity thinks you is because you are leaving that feeling that wrote the story and you're trying to get into other people's heads. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. Even when you're rewriting, you don't have to do it. Tune into what you want it to be and then ask yourself honestly, is this it? It's okay if you didn't do it. And finally, be kind to yourself. It's okay if you put stuff down and it wasn't the first effort wasn't the perfect effort. It takes time. It takes time. It takes time.
Maybe right. I think that's a great answer. It's about
you've got to be kind.
Keeping your eye on and your heart in that initial vision, the feeling you want people to have, the experience you want them to have, and then the craft, whether a particular sentence is effective or not, is like an outside layer to that, it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, well, and even the craft is really, I'll read sentences and I'll go, that's not quite it. What was I really trying to say? What was it I was really trying to say? And then I go back in and try to and forget. And here's one helpful thing on language, I would say this about on rewriting and language and originality and what we call craft. When I'm really stuck on trying to find the right words, AC, what I do is I forget about words. I remove my language-based thinking and instead just focus on the feeling of the thing I'm trying to write about, or if it's something physical I'm describing, instead of thinking about words, I just try to see that thing in my mind and forget about language. Either see the thing physically I'm trying to write, or more often see the thing emotionally I'm trying to write. And then once I've really felt it or seen it, then let the actual language that is the correct match for that which I'm trying to write come to me. It's actually clearing away language that allows the right language to come in. Because sometimes we can just throw the word, say, hate down fast when what we really meant was rage. But we didn't feel the thing, and so we just picked a word that are close, that are synonyms. This is not a synonym word. You want the word that really matches it. And the only way to know what really matches it is to really see it. And so you got to stop thinking about language, see the thing, and then let language come to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yeah,
we
have time for one more.
Okay, this comes from Kurt. The biggest hill I need to climb to get the experience I want is not time, talent, craft, or fear of writing. It appears to be time, talent, craft, and fear of the marketing effort it's going to take to get that writing seen. And this is a question I know you know a lot of people who struggle with this. A lot of very talented authors, kind of this is what they complain about when they're sitting at the bar with their friends is, how to get their
marketing.
Writing seen, how and why their publishers aren't doing enough to get their writing seen, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you tell people about this?
Well, this could be – did I teach a whole class on called fearless marketing, because most writers don't like to market. And remember, one of the key to fearless writing is you want to stay out of other people's heads. And what I have found is the reason most writers hate marketing is they feel like, well, okay, that's fine when you're writing, but to – To sell a book. Oops, it wants to. I'm going to quickly do something here so we have more time. We've got just a little bit more time. To sell a book, well, you've got to get in people's heads because you've got to find out if they like it. You've got to somehow make someone like your book and get them to look at it and get it seen. And this seems like now the job of the marketer is to somehow again read other people's minds, which is impossible, and it's joyless, and there's nothing fun about it for the writer who loves to tune into what they love about their story and share it. So what I say to you is, without getting into all the marketing how-tos, but I interviewed a great sort of platform promotional guy named Dan Blank a couple about a month ago. It's on the Blog Talk Radio, my Author to Author podcast. Check it. It's, if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can. But what he said is, look upon marketing as what is the conversation you want to have with other people. Even if you write fiction, it's a conversation with your readers about something. And what is that conversation about? What is it about? For me, for Fearless Writing, I've got a book called Fearless Writing coming out in May. That's a conversation about how to write without fear, how to have unconditional love for the story you're telling, to write without any thought of what anyone else thinks about it. I love that conversation. I can't stop having that conversation. And so I try not to think about marketing in terms of how do I get people to see it, but how can I have that conversation? Because the conversation, AC, is what you are offering to people. You can't – this the marketing that is buy my book, look at my book, as a consumer, I think, what's in it for me? But if somehow you can insinuate in all this marketing what you are actually offering people, what is the gift they will get in having this conversation with you? Because remember, when you write a book, AC, you start it, the reader finishes it. The reader finishes your book. They use their imagination to bring it to life. It's their version. What they read is their version of your story. It's not your version. And so in that way, it really is a conversation. You offer it, they finish it. You offer it, they finish it. What are you offering them? Think about what you're offering. Think about how much you love it. Think about not just how do I get people to write it, but I love this thing. What is the best way to have that conversation? If you think of it as a creative act, how can I have this conversation, rather than something you simply got to do so you people will buy your book, it could be as interesting as the writing of the book itself, because it's coming from the same place.
Also, I think that's great advice, because I've talked to a lot of marketers on my podcast too, and in the internet and social media age, they all basically say some version of the same thing, which is that saying buy my book doesn't work. It just doesn't sell books.
No, why should I buy your book?
Right, but having a conversation, asking questions, engaging with people in a real conversation about your book or some of the themes, it tends to be what actually works. That's what I hear anyway.
Yeah, the platform is a conversation. It's a conversation with your readers and people of like minds about subjects that you're interested in. Whatever you're interested in, there are other people interested in it. But the reason people who don't like marketing don't like it because they think they have to do something they don't actually have to do, which is to get other people to do something. And there's no way to get anyone to do anything. But if you offer someone a conversation, you can't control who wants to have that conversation, but now the people who are interested in it will come to it and say, oh, I'd like to have that conversation. But as long as you've got to let them know what that conversation is. You know, one of the best things I did was writing this daily blog for Author Magazine. And the thing about it was a very consistent blog. I wrote it every day, and I posted on Facebook and Twitter. And it was always about more or less the same thing, which is, how do you write fearlessly? How do you love your story unconditionally? How do you look at and know that you're talented enough? How do you know that? And that was the same thing I wrote about every single day. So two could learn – could come to it and know that they would have that experience when they sought me out. I couldn't control who did and who didn't, but because I offered the same thing again and again, the people who were most interested in it could find it and know it would be there for them. And all I did was talk about the things I wanted to talk about and put it out so people could see it. That's really all marketing is at its core, is just finding a way to have a conversation you already want to have, that you've been having. You're just looking for ways to have it with more people. If you can frame it that way, it's friendlier, it's more creative, and it is something that you're already interested in. Because you've written the book, you're interested in it. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, I think we probably don't have time, but maybe next time we'll be able to talk about – I'd love to talk about specific techniques that novelists in particular can find to have that conversation, because if you're writing, a certain kind of book, nonfiction especially, usually people find it easier to have that conversation online than if you're writing certain kinds of novels where the themes and the topics are a little harder to pin down.
And I think it's a good idea, because we're going to do this. Hopefully we'll do this class, another master class, in another week, or not next week, but the week after, if you're game. But we'll let folks know. It'll all be up there. But I will say this before we sign off. If you're a fiction writer, don't forget this. In the end, the book will sell itself more than you will ever sell it. You must trust in the book. Books are sold word of mouth more than anything else. Yes, platform matters. Yes, social media can help. But nothing beats the book itself. That is the best salesman. Always. I am convinced of it. Well, AC, thank you so much for doing this masterclass. It was fabulous. And
thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. And like, I'm going to be doing an interview next week with someone. Let me see if I can find his name. He looks like a very interesting fellow. It's going to be Joseph Emmett. Wonderful nonfiction writer, kind of inspirational writer. I'm going to have him on. But all things being equal, in 2 weeks, we'll be back again to do this. What do you say?
Sounds good. I'll be there.
Okay, everybody. Well, until then, find something you love and do it. You don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks of it. Only what you think of it. Isn't that nice? It's true. Okay, everybody. Do what you love.